Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, at the lower part of Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, we saw a Tanaic source, a Brisa, that featured a Machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua, concerning the level of knowledge that's necessary in order for someone to be chayev to bring a Korban Chatas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it was not necessary to have a specific level of knowledge in order for one to be chayev to bring such a korban. Whether a person ate chilev or a person ate nosar, either way, he would be chayev a korban chatas. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the chiyuv doesn't arise unless one discovers exactly what the source of his Aveira was before he can bring the Korban Chatas. And he cited a pasuk, Oy hoida elov chatosoy asher choto bo. And there the Brisa said, Ad sheivoda loch bame choto. The markings that we have indicated to help one find that particular line is an arrow that appears to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, so that at the Gemara, at the lower part of Yud Ches Amud Beis, one will notice to the immediate right-hand side, about 4 lines from the bottom, an arrow indicating Yud Ches Amud Aleph. There is a corresponding arrow on our daf, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, 5 lines from the top, also on the right-hand side of the Gemara text. With that introduction in mind, we now continue with the Gemara at the upper part of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, 4 lines from the top, the end of the line, for Rabbi Eliezer, Hai bo mai ovid lei. Rabbi Eliezer, whom we just mentioned, did not require a very specific level of knowledge of the offense. All that's necessary is to realize that he committed an offense, b'shogeg, unwittingly, concerning a topic that's chayev a korban chatas, without knowing exactly what the offense was. What does he do with the pasuk bo, that seemed to indicate that one does require a specific level of knowledge? So the Gemara answers, prat limit asik. The word bo comes to exclude someone from a chiyuv chatos, from an obligation to be a chatos, if he was a misasik. What is a misasik? This is someone who was involved with something that is totally permissible, and as a result of some type of quirk, we'll say, or some slippage, he ended up violating an iser. But his kavona, his intent, was not to deal with the forbidden substance or topic. Rashi points this out at the top, the second line from the top. Problem is asek bedover heter ubol yodo isur. This kind of situation where one was involved with something that's mutter, and there came to him and he committed an offense concerning that which is prohibited, such a situation does not warrant the bringing of a chatas. V'loi niskavein l'gufo shelzu, where he had no intention to deal with this with the item that is forbidden, kagoin. And Rashi cites an example, niskavein lachtoi cheset holush. Someone was cutting on Shabbos, let us say, something that he thought was detached. V'chotach es ha-mechubar. And he ended up cutting something that was attached. So he had kavona to cut a tomato that was detached from the ground, and somehow he ended up cutting a tomato that was still attached, and that would constitute a Shabbos violation. But he had no intention to cut the attached tomato. Another situation is kaveh liishto v'harei achoso imo b'mita. Person had intention to conduct intimacy with his wife, which is totally permissible, and in that same bed was his sister, which is a forbidden relation. V'nishmeta ishtoi ubo achoso tachteo, and somehow his wife slipped away, and his sister ended up being the one with whom he had relations, but he had no intention to be with his sister. That would be different than a case of someone who had intentions to have relations with his sister, but simply was unaware that that's a forbidden relationship. That is called shogeg, and that type of thing would be chayev achatas. However, someone whose intention was for something that was allowed, and he ended up doing something that's not allowed, that's called misasek. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter another geometric form that had been seen on Yud Ches Amud Beis, namely this trapezoid, or what we term the volcano form. We've indicated over here a Roman numeral number 2, also encapsulated in this trapezoid form to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that this is a continuation of where a number 1 had appeared. So if we go back to Yud Ches Amud Beis, we'll notice that the number 1 appeared after the Gemara asked a question, my binaihu, what is the difference between the two shittas that we saw in the Mishnah? We saw a machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Eliezer said that you have to know, in order to be in violation and chayav a korban chatas oyle v'yoreid with regard to tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, Rabbi Eliezer said you require a specific level of knowledge, and Rabbi Akiva said it's not necessary to be aware specifically of what caused the tumah. It's sufficient that one knows that he became tomei. So in that machlokes, as we just pointed out, a point of difference between the two shitas. That is as far as the way Chizkiah learns the machlokes tanoim. We saw Chizkiah, and Ula went along with that approach as well. In this Gemara, as far as the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, we will see in our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Sheshes, both in the trapezoid forms, feel that there is no actual practical difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. In other words, according to these Amoroyim, the Tanaic controversy in the Mishnah is not a controversy that bears out a practical halachic difference. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara continues, Omar, Mashmois Dorshin Iko Binayu. The Mashmos Dorshin means the approach to the Psukim, as far as how one sees what one does from the Psukim, is the point of difference, without an actual halachic bearing. V'chein Omar Rav Sheshes Mashmos Dorshin Iko Binayu. Rav Sheshes also feels that between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, there is no actual halacha l'maisa difference. The Rav Sheshes Machlif the Rabbi Yezer the Rabbi Akiva, or the Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Sheshes, when he learns this Mishnah, at times he would switch around the names, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and he was not makbid on this. He didn't feel that there was any urgent necessity to maintain a consistent approach with regard to the names and the shittas in this particular Mishnah, because there was no difference, no practical difference between them. Bomine Rovo Mirav Nachman. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei, a topic heading. She'ela. The Gemara will be raising a question. He'elem ze veze, tumo u'mikdash. A person enters the Beis HaMikdash not being aware of his tumah, nor being aware that it is the Beis HaMikdash that he's entering. Aliva de Rabbi Eliezer of Rabbi Kiva, de Patri al Hela Mikdash, according to these Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who feel that lack of knowledge of Beis HaMikdash is reason for exemption. In other words, that there is no chiyuv of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav if one is unaware of the of its being a the Beis HaMikdash. The only time that there's a chiyuv, according to these shitas, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, if one is unaware of his Tumah. So let us say one is unaware of both the Tumah and the Mikdash. What is his din with regard to the chiyuv chatas al-Leviyorei? Turning back to the Gemara, Bo minei Rava Mirav Nachman, Helim ze veze biyadoi mahu. According to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, that pater on Hela Mikdash, what is the din of this individual? Omar lei, so Rav Nachman answers, Hare Helim Tuma biyado v'chayav. Well, here you have someone that was unaware of his Tuma status, and that's reason for being chayav to bring a korban chatas al-Leviyorei, the fluctuating price korban. Adarava, to the contrary, Hare Hela Mikdash biyado upoter. This is someone who's unaware of it being the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result of that, that removes him from the classification of one who would be high of such a korban. In other words, he would be exempt. Omar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi comes in with his approach to this topic and says, Chazinon, we look at it, we evaluate. This person who was unaware of both, if you were to ask, or if you were to inform him of one of these two items, and he would react with wonderment or with exasperation and say, "Oh, then I certainly wouldn't have gone in." If depending on how he reacts will determine whether he's chayav or not. E mituma kaporish, porish means to separate himself. If as a result of being informed that he's tamei, he would have stayed away. We see that it's simply because he lacked knowledge of the Tumah that's the reason he violated this prohibition of entering the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result of that, he's called Helam Tumah, and he's Chayav. He's obligated to bring the Korban. If when informed that it was the Beis HaMikdash that he entered, and he says, "Oh, I wouldn't have gone in, but I just didn't know it was the Beis HaMikdash," Hare Helam Mikdash Biyado Upoter. Then we see that which prevented him from going, that which caused him to go in, was his lack of Beis HaMikdash awareness. And being that the lack of Beis HaMikdash awareness is what was the cause, and he went in anyway, he would be exempt, because according to these opinions, Helam Mikdash is grounds for exemption. Omar Le Ravina Le Ravashi. So Ravina responds to Rav Ashi's suggestion and says, "Klum porish mi mikdash ela mishum tuma, klum porish mi tuma ela mishum mikdash." These things, these elements, mikdash and tuma, they don't stand on their own; they're intertwined. And which basically means that if someone says, "Had I known it was the Beis HaMikdash, I wouldn't have gone in," well, why wouldn't you have gone in? One wouldn't go in because he was tameh, and likewise, if one's informed that he's Tomei and he says, "Oh, had I known I was Tomei, I wouldn't have gone in," where though? Gone into the Beis HaMikdash. You can't separate the two elements, one from the other, according to Ravina. Ela lo yishna. Rather, there is no distinction to be made between Mikdash and Tuma with regard to this individual's behavior. And as a result of that, we say there's no distinction to be made, and Rashi fills in the missing blank, which is the most important point, and he is Potter. He is exempt from bringing the korban oil of Yorei, because according to these tanoim that we raise the question, namely according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, once there is an element of lack of Beis HaMikdash awareness, that takes him out of the category of this particular chatas oil of Yorei. The topic that we're about to discuss, we entitled under the Nosei heading Shnei Shvilim, Echad Tomei VeEchad Tor. We're going to introduce a topic that features a person who traverses two paths. Under one path is Tumas Meis, a body is buried, and under the other there is none. But it's not known under which path is buried the individual. And after traversing these two paths, the person in question will enter the Beis HaMikdash, and we want to know whether or not the person will be chayev to bring a korban. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan. We see a framed section. This is a Tanaic source, as is represented in our Gemara marking system. That is, sections that are framed off. Shnei shvilim, echad tomei ve'echad tor. Two shvilim, two paths. One is tomei, because a body is buried under it, and the other path is tor, has no problem of tuma. V'holach barishon, v'loy nichnas. A person walked over the first path, and did not enter in the interim the Beis HaMikdash. Basheni v'nichnas, and then he walked on the second path, and after walking on the second path, entered the Beis HaMikdash. Chayav, he is obligated to bring the fluctuating price korban, the korban chatas oylev yoreid, because at the end of the day, so to speak, this person had a definite encounter with Tuma. The Rashi, Dibor Masel B'Sheni V'Nichnas, Rashi says, V'Chozar V'Holach B'Sheni, after having walked over the first path, and didn't know whether he walked over the Tomei path or the Tor path, he then walked over the second path. V'Yoda Sheholach B'Shneihem, and then he was aware, this person was aware that he had walked on both paths. V'Harei Hu Tomei Vadai, he can be considered a definitively Tomei individual. V'nichnas l'mikdash v'helem tuma sh'nis'al mimenu tuma, and then after having walked on both paths and being aware that he had walked on both paths and being aware that he was Tomei, he then forgot that he had been Tomei, walked into the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, chayav korban oylev yoreid sh'yesh kan b'tchila yediya vadoyis. As far as this person is concerned, initially he had yediyah vados, he had definitive knowledge of Tuma, simply forgot in the interim, and then when he later recounts his Tuma, he then will have to bring his korban oylev yoreid. Continuing in the source, we have a second scenario. Holach barishon v'nichnas. Person went on one of the two paths, and then entered the Beis HaMikdash. Hizo v'shino v'tovah. Hizo v'shino is a reference to the application of the Pora Aduma water, the mixture of water and ashes of the red heifer, which is the basis of Taharo. That is the means of Metahir, someone who is Tomei Meis. So he does this process twice, which is what's necessary on the third and the seventh day of his contact with the Tuma. And he's Tovel, he enters the mikvah, becomes Tohar in effect, and then V'achaka Holach Basheni, then he walks on the second path, V'nichnas, and enters the Beis HaMikdash. Chayov. So the Tanakama says, he is obligated to bring a korban chatas oylev yoreid, whether because of the first incident or the second incident. In other words, after all, one of the two paths is definitively tamei, and he walked into the Beis HaMikdash after walking on one of those two paths, as you can see in the story. So the Tanakama feels he's chayev, whether because of the first path or because of the second path. Rabbi Shimon Poter. If we glance at Rashi, Rabbi Shimon Poter, the ein kan the achas mikulon yediyo vadoyis betchila. With regard to both of these paths, in this particular case, there was no yediyo vadoyis at the outset. In other words, prior to any given entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, we had in this particular story two entrances to the Beis HaMikdash, but prior to any given entrance, there wasn't Tumah Vadoyas. She'af Yediya Tchila Shel Shvil Sheni Sveikohi. Because even with regard to his knowledge before traversing the second path, was involved with an element of doubt. Share Toher Lo Mituma Rishona Im Horishon Hu Hatomei. as far as the his having walked on the first path, even if the first path had tumah, in the interim between the two paths he achieved tara, so that when he walked on the second path, you were not dealing with a person that at that point had contained tumah in him. So that prior to his walking on the first path, there was certainly no definitive tumah. And prior to his walking on the second path, and then walking on the second path, also there was no definitive tumah. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda poter bekulan mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon and says that in all the cases there will be exemption, even the first case. And to this the Gemara reacts, bekulan, are you telling me that he is exempt in all the cases, v'afilu bekomaisa, and even in the first case, mimanafshach tomehu? Either way you look at it, with regard to the first case, he's tomei. Whether the tumah was under the first path or tumah was under the second path, he did not achieve any tahara in the interim. So after having walked on both paths, you have a person that's definitely tomei. And then he enters the Beis HaMikdash. How can you say there's exemption? Omar Rava, hocha b'mayaskinan. Here in this case, where, namely the first case that was featured in that Tanaic source, what are we talking about? Kegoin sheholach b'rishon, u'b'shol sheholach b'sheni, shochach sheholach b'rishon. That this person had walked on the first path, and then when he walked on the second path, he had forgotten that he had walked on the first path. He blanked out completely with regard to that experience. Dehaviolei miktsas yediyah. This person is classified as having partial knowledge. In other words, when he entered the Beis HaMikdash, he had partial knowledge. Ubaha komiflugi. Tanakama sovar amrinon miktsas yediyah kechol yediyah. According to the Tanakama, this element of partial knowledge is considered complete, and that's why the Tanakama says that he'll be chayav to the korban oil of yored. Rabbi Shimon sovar lo amrinon miktsas yediyah kechol yediyah, and the last opinion that we saw in the source, namely the Rabbi Shimon Yehuda's opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Let's just, for the sake of accuracy, just go over this. When the Gemara says Tanakama, Rashi points out it means the first presentation of Rabbi Shimon held that miktsas yediyah is considered kol yediyah, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's version of Rabbi Shimon feels that miktsas yediyah is not kechol yediyah. Rashi elaborates on this, and let us glance at the Rashi on the third line from the top. Tanakama sovar, Tanakama aliva de Rabbi Shimon. You can see with our Mark Gemoras how we've noted with a double underline the term or the name Tanakama aliva de Rabbi Shimon. A little later in the Rashi, you'll notice again the double underline featuring Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's version of aliva de Rabbi Shimon. So the first approach to Rabbi Shimon, shepoter behizo v'shona, the enopoter borishona. The first approach of Rabbi Shimon saw grounds for exemption in the second case that was featured in that Tanaic source, where he had achieved tara between the experience of walking on both paths. In other words, after walking on path one, he achieved tara, and then walked on path two, and then entered the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon, the first version of Rabbi Shimon, felt that that case was potter, but does not potter, doesn't offer exemption in the very first case of the Tanaic source. Sovar, he holds, kevon detumas vadai hu. Since in case one there was definite tumah, afagav deihu lo yoda lo lekulhu, even though he didn't know the person walking on the paths and then entering the Beis HaMikdash wasn't aware of both of the paths at the time he entered the Beis HaMikdash, the tehve le yedias vaday elo yedias safek, because he didn't, as we said, he forgot when he walked on the second path, he was unaware of his having walked on the first path. Nevertheless, Adifa he mehanoch yidios sofek dehiz of Ashana. There is more stringency that we will apply to the first case than the case of his having achieved complete tahara in the interim, the second case. The Hossam, in the second case, Yoda le lekula milsa, he was totally aware of everything that had happened to him. And even with his total awareness, there is still an element of doubt. In other words, after having walked on the first path, well, the first path was clearly an issue of suffek, and then he became aware of his having been on the first path, but that was a suffek at the outset. He then achieved tahara. Then when he walked on the second path, his knowledge before walking on the second path was a knowledge of suffek. In other words, he's about to walk on a path that is at best suffek. Avol hocha, in the ratio case, where when he walked on the second path, he forgot that he had walked on the first path. Ihave yoda lo lekula milsa, if prior to his walking on the second path, he was aware of his having walked on the first path, have le yediyah vadoyis, he would have had knowledge of definitive tuma. Hilkoch lav yediyah sofek hi. Therefore, we can't classify that as yediyah sofek. In other words, if by filling in the missing information you would achieve a yediyah vadai, that cannot be classified as yediyah sofek. Elo, we classify it as miktsas yediyah vadoyis. Instead of calling it yediyah sofek, we call it partial yediyah vadoyis. Umiktsas yediyah kechol yediyah. Partial yediyah vadoyis is called complete yediyah. V'Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, alibad Rabbi Shimon Savar, the opinion that exempts even in the first case holds. Lo amrinon, we don't say that mixes yediyah vadoyis kechol yediyah. That partial yediyah vadoyis is to be classified as a complete yediyah. Turning back to the Gemara now, as you can see, we have a framed section. This is a quote from the second scenario in the Tanaic source. Holach borishon v'nichnas. The individual, the fellow, walked on the first path and then entered the Beis HaMikdash. He's a Vishino V'toval. He then achieved purification, Tahara. Chozar V'holach Basheni. Then, and only then, walked on the second path, V'nichnas, and entered the Beis HaMikdash. Chayov. Rabbi Shimon Poter. V'amai Chayov. The Gemara turns to the Tanakama that said that he is obligated to bring the Korban Chatas, Oilu V'yoreh. Why is he obligated? Sofek yediyahu. At best, he had a sofek yediyah. In other words, prior to walking on any given path, he is not aware. He is aware that at best he is about to encounter tuma. Once again, he is aware that at best he is there is a matter of doubt concerning tuma. So, preceding either entrance to any either given entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, this is a person that had maximum a yediyah of suffek. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kan osu suffek yediyah ki yediyah. Rabbi Yochanan says that in this case we treat suffek yediyah as if there is yediyah. Rabbi Reish Lakish Omar, Ha Moni, Rabbi Yishmael Hi. This source that offers exemption, that says that there is obligation, this Tanakama holds, is Rabbi Yishmael. Ha Moni, Rabbi Yishmael Hi. This Tanakama that says Chayev is according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Omar Lo Bo'inon Yediyah B'tchila. He holds that concerning this entire realm of Chiyuv Chatas and Tumas Mikdash Mekadoshav, there is an obligation even if someone lacked initial knowledge. It's sufficient that he is informed or becomes aware of his transgression post facto. There's no need to have knowledge beforehand. At this point, the Gemara embarks on a long question. And you can see we have a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Before we go too much further in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our nosei, the title, topic heading that we've assigned to this section of Gemara. On the outside margin, you see the nosei. Number one, Haim Osu Yediyas Sofek Ki Yediyas Vadai. Awareness of a matter of doubt, is that considered awareness of something that is certain? We just saw that Rabbi Yochanan held that Osu Yediyas Sofek Ki Yediyas Vadai. And number two, Yishuv Shitas Rabbi Yochanan V'Reish Lakish. Beima she'omru kan, ima she'omru etzel yudio sofek b'osham tolui. We're going to try to resolve what seems to be a certain level of inconsistency, if you will, between that which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said over here, we just saw that in the Gemara we learned, and that which we are about to see in the upcoming section. As far as what the discrepancy is, that the Gemara will highlight. Even though the Gemara introduces this presentation with the word v'romi, in other words, it introduces the question as using the word romi, which very often indicates a contradiction, here the presentation will not involve what we would classify as a head-on contradiction or an obvious contradiction. Therefore, we're terming this as a form of inconsistency, if you will. Let's see the Gemara. As we said, we're about to start a long question. V'rami de Rabbi Yochanan ad Rabbi Yochanan, v'rami de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. We also have included a little note in the inside margin, if you notice the drawn-in asterisk. And the note on the inside says, B'hemshech itborer, and the continuation of the Gemara will become clear, the Iker HaKushya Yer B'shitas Reish Lakish, that the main question will revolve around Reish Lakish. The Gemara continues. Desanya. First, we present a Tanaic source. The topic of the Tanaic source has to do with the Korban Osham Tolui. This is a Korban that one brings when he violates an issue that is a matter of doubt. Had the same issue been known with certainty and transgressed unwittingly, then there would have been a korban chatas. And that characterizes offenses, generally speaking, that if done with knowledge, done with kavona, would have been chayev kores. We'll just use as example the consumption of chelev. Chelev is a portion of the animal, it's a substance within an animal that is forbidden by the Torah to eat. The source begins, Ochal Sofek Chelev Venoda. Person ate some Sofek Chelev, some substance that is not clear whether or not it is Chelev. Venoda, after he ate it, he became aware that he ate Sofek Chelev. Sofek Chelev Venoda. And he did the same thing, and after eating it, after this second eating, he then became aware that once again he ate Sofek Chelev. Rebbe Oimer, Kishem Shemevi Chatas al Kol Echod V'Echod, Kach Mevi Osham Tolui al Kol Echod V'Echod. Just like in a case that a person had, let us say, eaten Vadai Chelev under similar circumstances, ate, then became aware that he ate it. In other words, he didn't eat it initially thinking that it was Chelev. He thought it was kosher, and then he was informed that what he ate was definitely chalev, and then this repeated itself. He would have to bring a separate chatos for each consumption, because they were not consumed in one state of lack of awareness, that we call elsewhere, it was not done the helem echod. So too, being that in this case of eating the suffic chalev, there was an awareness between the two eatings of his having eaten Sofek Chelev, that warrants the bringing of a separate Osham Tolui for each event. Once again, we said an Osham Tolui is brought for the transgression of something that is a matter of doubt. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amru, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Eino Mevi Ela Oshem Tolui Echad. The scene described above warrants the bringing of only one Oshem Tolui, and not multiple Oshem Toluis as the first Shita held. Shenemar, the Posuk in the context of the Oshem Tolui says, Al Shigigosoi Asher Shogag. That's a Posuk that is in the context of the Korban Oshem Tolui. HaTorah Ribso Shigogos Harbev Oshem Tolui Echad. According to their opinion, the Torah lumps together multiple offenses. Shogos Harbe are unwitting offenses, and says for all of them you bring only one Oshem Tolui. So unlike a Korban Chatos, which under these circumstances would have had to bring multiple Korban Chatos, because there was a Yediyah, there was a state, a situation of awareness between each eating, here with regard to the awareness of having consumed Safek, that does not create the need for multiple Oshem Toluis. The Omar Reish Lakish, Kan Shona Rebbe, here Rebbe teaches, Rebbe's name was featured with a squiggle underline in the source, the first Shita, we have him listed as Aleph. Here, Rebbe teaches that Yediyos Sveikos Mischalkos Lechatois. That means that if at the end of all of these eatings, the fellow is informed that every Sofek Chelev that he ate was in fact Vadai Chelev, then, retroactively, so to speak, he will then be chayev to bring multiple chatois. Rashi points this out. Kan, we are going to read Rashi now. Kan, Shona Rebbe, Yediyo Sofek Mischalkes L'chatois, V'hochi Ko'omar Rebbe, Kishe Ivoda Loi Lacharzman She Chelev Hoyo, when it becomes known to this fellow, after a while, that what he ate was in fact chilev, yovi chatas al kol echod v'echod. He'll have to bring a separate korban chatas for each one. Shiadias sofek shehoisu lo bintayim, the awareness of doubt that he experienced between each eating. As we said before, after he ate the first substance, he was told what you ate was sofek chilev, and then he went on to eat a second substance, and after that too he was then informed it was sofek chilev. So that interim state of awareness of sofek, of doubt, michalkosam, separates the eatings. Delo nehevu shnei zeis chilev behelam echod, so that it should not be categorized as two quantities of chelev in one state of lack of awareness. Kach kol zman sheloi noidalo shehein vada chelev elo sofek chelev mevi oshem tolui al kol achas v'achas. And similarly, as long as he didn't discover that it's actual chelev, but it was simply he discovered it was sofek chelev, he has to bring a separate oshem tolui for each one. Almo midekotoni shemevi chatos al kol achas, from the fact that Rebbe is saying, as Rabbi Yochanan reports, that he has to bring a chatos for each one, svirole yediois sofek mechalkos lechatois. This reveals to us that he's of the opinion that awareness of sofek, the interim awareness of sofek, serves to divide and require multiple korban chatois. Turning back to the Gemara, that was Reish Lakish's presentation. Let's read that again. V'yomer Reish Lakish, Kan Shona Rebbe, Yediyos Sveikos Mischalkos Lechatois. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Keshem Sheyediyos Vadai Be'almo Mischalkos Lechatois, Kach Yediyos Sofek Mischalkos La'ashamos. One has to be very careful in presenting Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. He is saying something different than Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that just like awareness of a definitive situation creates the need for multiple korban chatos, so too the awareness of doubt creates the need for multiple korban oshem toluis. However, and this is the main point, if one becomes aware at the end of eating the sofek chalevs, that what he ate, all of the multiple eatings were vadai chalevs, he does not bring multiple korban chatos. Awareness of doubt, interim awareness of doubt, does not split up, does not cause for multiple chatois. Ein, we can say that ein yediyas safek yediyas vadai. If we take that approach, here Rabbi Yochanan is saying ein yediyas safek yediyas vadai, and if we look above where we saw Rabbi Yochanan presented, we hear Rabbi Yochanan said osu safek yediyah ki yediyah. So the Gemara continues. Bishlamad Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha. We've squiggle underlined this so as you can contrast this with what appears a little later, Ela la Reish Lakish. We're in the middle of a long question, and we're saying that as far as Rabbi Yochanan's seeming inconsistency, that's not a problem. Bishlamad Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha. Kan osu, velo b'chola Torah kula osu. This will be explained by the Gemara as it goes on, but before we go further, we have attached to this Gemara, to the outside, immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a little arrow. If you scan up, you'll find a parallel arrow, and that's because we're trying to emphasize the line on which the word kan appears. Above, Rabbi Yochanan said, over here, they made safek yediyah ki yediyah. That's true. That is with regard to the issue of tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. In that realm, so sofek yediyah is considered a yediyah. The partial awareness, or the awareness of the sofek, we'll say, the awareness of the doubt, was sufficient to create a need for a korban. That's true there, that or kan, here in the case of tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, and that's exclusionary, here but not elsewhere. The not elsewhere will then say, not in the case of the Osham Tolui and the subsequent awareness of a Vadai transgression. Let's see this in the Gemara, and with the explanation of why the distinction between the two realms, the realm of Tumas Mikdash versus the realm of Osham Tolui. The Gemara explains, Aleph, we have a double underline to feature the distinction between this case of Tumas Mikdash, and skipping a line, you'll see a double underline again, where we've double underlined velo b'chol haTorah kula asu. So here is the distinction: Hocha hu delo ksiva yediya behedya mi v'ne'elam hu deka'osi. In the case of tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, where yediya is not spelled out in the Torah, it's derived from the expression v'ne'elam. In other words, the Torah says he was unaware when he entered the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that it says it became hidden from him, became hidden means there had been Yediyah previously, and now it became hidden. But it doesn't say straight out V'yoda, it says V'ne'elam, being an expression from which we derive or infer that there had been Yediyah. As a result of that, there's no need for for clarity with regard to the issue of Tuma. And as a result of that, we are able to say that you don't need Yediyah Ma'al Yisah, and therefore Asu Safek Yediyah Ki Yediyah, as Rabbi Yochanan said, in the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. However, V'lo B'chol HaTorah Kula Asu D'Chtiv. Elsewhere, for example, in the issue of the Asham Tolui and a standard Korban Chatas, the Pasuk says Oy Hoida Elov. It became known to him, which, since the word hoda appears explicitly, we say yediya ma'al yisabo'inon. In order to bring a korban chatas, you have to have a yediya ma'al yisoik, a full-fledged level of knowledge beforehand. In other words, where the fellow was eating safek chalevs along the way, and in the interim he became aware merely of his having eaten safek chalev, that is not called yediyah ma'al yisah, awareness of doubt, awareness that what I did was doubtful, is not called full-fledged awareness. And therefore there will not be multiple chatois according to this particular approach. Ela l'Reish Lakish, Ademoikin le Kerebi Shmuel Nukmo Kerebi. But as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, and here we have an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. The parallel arrow points up to the line that said Ha Moni Rabbi Shmuel Hi, when Reish Lakish was explaining the case, the second case of the source that appeared on Omid Aleph, of having walked on the two paths, and there was the Tahara achieved between the two paths. Reish Lakish explained the Tanakama, who said Chayav, that that's Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you don't have to have Yediyah Betchila. So instead of Reish Lakish establishing that source as Rabbi Shmuel, who says you don't need Yediyah Betchila, Nukma Karebi, you could have set up the source like Rebbe that says that in the realm of Tumas Mikdash, Safik Yediyah is considered like Yediyah. Why did Reish Lakish not take that approach? So the Gemara answers, Ha Komash Malon. Reish Lakish is informing us, the Rabbi Shmuel Lo Boy Yediyah Betchila, that Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't have to have Yediyah at the outset. So the Gemara asks, Pshita De Lo Boy. It's obvious that Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't have to have Yediyah Betchila. Midelo miyasri le kroi v'ne'elam demechayev al hela mikdash. He doesn't have an extra posuk to derive the need for Yediyah, because he uses v'ne'elam to derive that helim mikdash is also grounds. He, from the extra word v'ne'elam, learns something else. So it's not available to teach me the need for Yediyah. Therefore, it's obvious that Rabbi Shmuel does not have a requirement of Yediyah b'tchila. So that which Reish Lakish tells me above, that Ha Moni Rabbi Shmuel Hi Domar Lo Boinin Yediyah b'tchila, that's pretty obvious, because we know that Rabbi Shmuel concludes that Hela Mikdash is Chayav using that very word. So it's not available to teach me the need for Yediyah b'tchila. Mahu detema. Without Reish Lakish, I might have thought, Ki Lesle, when is it so that, or under what circumstances is it so that he does not require Yediyah b'tchila? That's Mikroi, based on Psukim. Based on Psukim, true, I don't see that you have to have Yediyah b'tchila. Avo mi Gemara Islay. But through oral tradition, through Halacha L'moshe Misinai, I would have thought without Reish Lakish that Rabbi Shmuel also requires Yediyah b'tchila. Komash Malon, therefore Reish Lakish comes to tell me that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no need for Yediyah b'tchila in the realm of Tumas Mikdash B'kadoshav, even as far as Halacha L'moshe Misinai is concerned. So with that, we've completed the second perek. Mishnah. Shvuos Shtayim Shehein Arba. We have a little note over here that the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Beis says that Liyadios Be'inyan Shvuas Bitoi U'Shvuas Shav. The issue of awareness concerning Shuos Bitui, these are oaths that one takes on his own regarding actions, or Shuos Shav, useless types of Shua. The issue of Yedios is discussed there on Chof Zayin on my base. So Shuos Shtayim Shein Arba, how do we figure that? Shvua, a person swears, She'ochal v'shelo ochal, those are future shvuas, that I will eat or I will not eat. She'ochalti v'shelo ochalti, another two, for a total of four. He swears I ate and he in fact did not, or he did not eat, I did not eat, and in fact he did. Shvua she'lo ochal, a person swears that he will not eat. V'ochal kol shehu, and then he goes ahead and eats something of a minimum, of less than the minimum required shiur. He eats a morsel. Chayav, de Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, in order to violate the shvua, one doesn't have to eat the standard quantity that accompanies the violation of eatings as regards all other forms of eating violations. For example, if we say that there's a prohibition of eating a kezias of nevela, of unslaughtered meat, and a person eats less than an olive's quantity, he's not said to be in violation of the Isra Achilas Nevela. However, if someone swears not to eat an apple, and he then eats a morsel of apple, even though it's less than a kezias, according to Rabbi Kiva, he is said to be in violation. Where do you find any precedent for saying that achilas kolshu, kolshu is an expression referring to less than a standard quantity, where do you find that achilas kolshu results in culpability, that over here you all of a sudden are saying that he's in violation? Omar lahem Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva responds, v'chi heichon motzinu b'medaber Shehu may be korban, shezeh may be korban. Where do you ever find, as a result of speech, that one has to bring a korban, that over here, as a result of speech, one has to bring a korban? So, according to Rabbi Akiva, at this point, it seems that we're dealing with a realm that doesn't need to have a precedent from other realms. By the very virtue of the nature of this kind of offense, it's a speech offense. The Gemara opens up analyzing the implication of the word ochal. Lameimra, are you suggesting from this Mishnah de sheochal de achilno mashma, is an expression in the positive, that he swears, I will eat. Veromini. We have a Tanaic source in which the expression sho'ochal will appear, and we will see that it has a negative connotation. Shvua lo ochaloch. Shvua she'ochaloch. Loi shvua she'loi ochaloch. Three different expressions. Our purpose is to focus on the second example, Shvua She'ochaloch, Usur. And the conclusion of these three different expressions is that if he swears any of these different versions, he will be forbidden. So we see that by saying Shvua She'ochaloch, he is prohibited. He does not eat. And hence, She'ochal means no. Rashi, the second line from the bottom, says Shvua She'ochaloch, Beisur shvua yehe olai, ma sheochal mishalcha, that which I will consume of your food, I will be in violation of a shvua. Dahochi mashma, ma sheochal loch yehe beisur shvua, that which I will eat from your possessions will cause me to be in violation of an oath. Well, we see from here that sheochal is taken to me to be in the negative. Omar Abaye. Abaye offers his solution and says, "Li'olam de'achilno mashma." In general, she'ochal is in the positive, that I will eat. Lo kashi, as far as resolving our Mishnah with this other source, there is no contradiction. Kan b'misarvin bo le'chol, kan b'she'ein misarvin bo le'chol. Misarvin has to do with pressuring someone. It depends. Is this a person that's being pressured to eat and doesn't want to, or no pressure applied? Masnisin, the Mishnah which we concluded meant da'achilna, b'she'ein misarvin boi le'chol. He's not being pressured into eating. And therefore, if he says, he just pops out of the blue and says Shua she'ochal, means he swears that he will eat. Baraisa, where we seem to learn that she'ochal ended up in a restriction that he will not eat, b'misarvin bo le'chol v'komar. He's a person that's being pressured. When are you going to come to eat by us? And why don't you eat by us? And they're pressuring him to come to over to eat. V'komar, he responds, lo achilno, lo velo achilno, dechikah mishtaba, hachikomar, shvua shelo ochal. He is says beforehand, after receiving the pressure tactics, he says, "I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat." And then he says what he does. When he says what he does, his intent is to say shvua shelo ochal. Notice with our markings, we've put a number one above the expression brisa. That represents, in fact, Abaye's approach to the brisa. But we're putting the number one over here because Rav Ashi has represents a second approach, but specifically to the brisa. Rav Ashi Omar Tani, you should restate in the brisa the following text: Shvua She'i Ochal Loch. The word she'i is a negation. Shvua, that I will not eat from you. Ihachi ma'ila memra. According to Rav Ashi's approach, then it doesn't need to be taught. It seems very obvious that if a person says shvua she'i ochaloch, that he'll be osir. Why does it have to be spelled out? Mahu detema. Without Rav Ashi's point, I would have thought lishne de iskila le, that a person who says shvua she'i ochal is stuttering, so to speak, and as a result of stuttering, what he really is trying to say is she'ochal, just that his tongue got stuck, so to speak, and he didn't really have kavona she'i to say in the negative. Komash malon, this is what the brisa informs us through Rav Ashi, that if a person says she'i, we don't have to take into consideration that his tongue got stuck, and if he says she'i, he means that. And hence, usur, he cannot eat. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.